With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. Union workers at Stillwater Mining Company have rejected a proposed four-year contract that they said could result in a reduction in take-home pay. Stillwater said today that members of the United Steelworkers Local turned down the contract. Miners said the proposal didn't include raises and kept health care and retirement benefits the same, but would have changed production incentives that would have resulted in less take-home pay. An attempt to strip a bonding provision from a new forest management bill failed today on Capitol Hill. The bill, co-authored by Montana Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke, would require people who aren't part of collaborative timber projects to post a bond before they could sue over the projects. If they lose, they'd be required to pay the federal government's legal tab. Colorado Democrat Jared Polis today tried to amend that bonding requirement out of the bill. Polis told the House Natural Resources Committee that it robs people of the right to challenge illegal or improper projects.
My amendment favors not only local management and input, but really essential American values regarding equal access to speech and justice.
Zinke's forest reform bill this week was folded into a larger congressional forestry package. He says the bonding proposal doesn't shortchange any environmental regulations and only encourages collaboration.
First of all, it doesn't prevent anything. Anyone can sue, you just can't have the government pay for it.
The committee agreed with Zinke and defeated the Polis amendment on a 16-22 vote. The full measure advanced out of committee. A floor vote is expected sometime after the July 4th holiday. Lobbyists spent at least $5.8 million to influence Montana lawmakers and the issues they discussed this year. That's more than $64,000 a day. Preliminary data from the Commissioner of Political Practices shows lobbying spending in 2015 remained at about the same level as it was over the last 8 years, although some individual firms stepped up their soliciting game. The Montana Association of Realtors topped the list, spending $237,000, the most ever recorded by a single entity lobbying the legislature, and $100,000 more than the association spent in 2013. Realtors President Ryan Swinney says the American Association of Realtors chipped in $50,000 to help the Montana chapter oppose a new law that will disclose home prices. Glacier National Park marked another attendance milestone this morning as the 100 millionth visitor in park history drove through the west entrance. Corin Cates Carney reports.
The Jensen family in their first visit to Glacier National Park received a unique welcome as they entered the Apgar Visitor Center.
Well, I guess I'll just start. My name's Jeff Mao, the park superintendent. I don't know if you guys knew that when I came up to your car this morning.
Becky Jensen and her children, Pierce and Gretchen, are from Bakersfield, California, and vacationing in Whitefish. With the Going to the Sun Road now open on the west side, the Jensen family planned on driving up to Logan Pass.
We had heard that they had opened the road today, and so we thought, well, let's head up there and see what happens.
Glacier National Park welcomes its 100 millionth visitor 46 years after celebrating the 1 millionth visitor. With higher than average visitors this spring, the park is on pace to break the yearly attendance record set last year of 2.3 million. The park has been tracking attendance since 1911. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Authorities in Washington State have arrested a man they say kidnapped his girlfriend in Montana and led police on a high-speed chase after she escaped and called for help. The Cowlitz County Sheriff's Office says 35-year-old Joseph Crowell of Montana is being held for investigation of kidnapping, assault, and other charges. He was taken into custody after he fled from deputies and rammed two patrol cars head-on. Deputy Chief Charlie Rosenzweig says Amber Smelt called 911 Wednesday to report she'd been kidnapped the day before and forced to drive with Crowell to Washington. She'd been reported as a missing or endangered person out of Flathead County. Tribal wildlife biologists killed two female yearling grizzly bears from the St. Ignatius area on Tuesday. Corin Cates Carney reports.
Biologists saw one of the yearlings chasing livestock. Similar reports have been noted around St. Regis. Jermaine White of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes says the decision to euthanize became clear when the young grizzlies were indifferent to human proximity.
When the bear biologists made attempts to haze them, they were unfazed. They've been very habituated by people.
White says this sort of thing is not unusual.
You know, unfortunately, we have had bears removed in the past. We encourage people to eliminate attractants.
Attractants would mean garbage, pet food, and birdseed. White recommends an electric fence to keep bears away from livestock. People with bear problems on the Flathead Reservation are encouraged to call Tribal Dispatch. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Montana wildlife officials are today releasing a long-awaited wild bison study that contemplates restoring the animals to public, tribal, or private lands more than a century after they were driven to near extinction. But details released in advance show Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks will steer clear of the crucial question of where bison restoration work will occur. Agency spokesman Ron Ajheim says the draft study is meant to set broad guidelines should the state move forward on a specific site. The livestock industry and its backers have thwarted prior restoration attempts out of worries that bison would spread disease and outcompete cattle for rangeland. State wildlife commissioners want to use an aggressive public hunting campaign to kill off a diseased herd of 30 to 40 bighorn sheep in the Tendoy Mountains southeast of Dillon. Commissioners today gave preliminary approval to a plan to remove the Tendoy herd beginning this fall and to restock the area with about 50 healthy wild sheep.
I'm Emily Proctor. Across the U.S., the bird flu outbreak has caused big egg price increases, higher demands, and even egg rations. But in Montana, egg producers aren't seeing similar changes. David Hofer of Surprise Creek Cutterite Colony says he hasn't been impacted by the bird flu at all.
Somebody told me the price went up, but I haven't really checked on it. Been keeping them the same.
Hofer supplies his eggs to the central Montana area, his biggest market being Lewistown. According to the Great Falls Tribune, Cutterite colonies are responsible for 98% of egg production in Montana. John Walkup, another egg producer in Ronan, says he's seeing lower demand.
Lots of people have their own egg production, you know, the little backyard flock. We haven't raised our prices at all. And if the stores are charging more, they're making the profit themselves.
The Billings Gazette reported local egg prices have more than doubled in the last month. Walkup's eggs are certified organic and fill niche markets in western Montana. He also exports some out of state. He says the bird flu has created more work for him. Instead of being able to turn his chickens out during the day to graze grass, he has to produce additional feed for the birds, like he does in the winter months. This is because of a waterfowl advisory given by the state vet. According to the USDA, over 46 million birds have been affected since the first detection in December. Montana has reported only 2 cases, including a captive falcon. I'm Emily Proctor.
I'm Eric Whitney. Thanks for listening.